with honey man. Evil yacht, gaily yacht, way up, way up, way and way, stay who did gaily on well. Here way and hey, the honey man. He the ice gaze, Ronnie say. Oh man, the deation pray, we are a three, you and the us, the young rail. Evil ever knees, the yet the only, a up, the yet pray only. We see the end, lay art full of blade, the I gay, I pray and need the I hate. We're in the money, oh, I'm on the honey. Let's let it, spend it, send it, rolling around.
The great Ginger Rogers from 1933, from Gold Diggers of 1933. We're in the money here on Time Travel. We're going to leave you with Bing Crosby and Jimmy Greer and his orchestra from 1933 with Thanks. And then we're going to do some story time here today on Time Travel. Stick around. You're listening to Time Travel with Chris Earle here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. Previously recorded.
We used to dwell in love's own palace, a palace of dreams come true. Now that we're through, I bear no malice, though we've called it a day. All I can say is thanks for all the lovely delight I found in your embrace. Thankful though I know it's ending all too soon. And thanks for unforgettable nights I never can replay. And memories that linger like a haunting tune. It is better to have loved you, dear, and lost, than never to have loved at all. Yes, it's better, for no matter what the cost, I held the world in sway, and ever for a day. And thanks again for taking me on the road to paradise. We lost our way. Still I must convey my have loved you, dear, and lost, and never to have loved at all. Yes, it's better, for no matter what the cost, I held the world in sway, an emperor for a day. And thanks again for taking me on the road to paradise. We lost our way, but still I must convey my thanks.
All right, time travelers, it's been a while. We haven't done story time in a while, so I'm going to give you one story today from Disney's read-alongs. It is a CD and book that came out about 5 or 6 years ago from a movie from about 12 years ago now. Time is flying by. This is The Story of Iron Man, children. Let's listen, shall we, with music and the actors from the actual movie Iron Man here on Storytime on Time Travel for the next few minutes. Thanks for listening to your freeform station, WMFO, Medford.
This is the story of how Tony Stark became Iron Man. You can read along with me in your book. You will know it is time to turn the page when you hear this sound. Let us begin the story now. Anthony Tony Stark was an inventor, genius, billionaire, and American patriot. After Tony graduated from college, his parents, Howard and Maria Stark, were killed in a terrible accident. Tony was left in charge of their multi-billion dollar technology company, Stark Industries. Stark Industries was well known for its development and manufacturing of advanced weapons and defense technologies. With his unique, brilliant mind, Tony quickly stepped up as chairman of Stark Industries. He invented countless weapons and received numerous awards. Although Tony was a sharp businessman, he couldn't run the company on his own. He hired an assistant, Pepper Potts, who kept him organized and on schedule. Obadiah Stane, a friend of Tony's father, stepped in as Tony's mentor and business partner. Tony enjoyed building weapons and showing them off, but he didn't enjoy the formal events that came with his new job. When he received the esteemed Apogee Award, Tony decided to skip the event. He sent Obadiah to accept the award for him.
Well, I'm not Tony Stark. but if I were Tony, I would tell you how honored I feel and what a joy it is to receive this very prestigious award. The best thing about Tony is also the worst thing. He's always working.
After the award ceremony, Pepper confronted Tony in his lab.
You are supposed to be halfway around the world.
Tony was supposed to be in Afghanistan, presenting his new Jericho missile to a group of high-ranking military officers, alongside his friend and the military liaison to Stark Industries, Lieutenant Colonel James Rhodes. But Tony just smirked at Pepper.
I thought with it being my plan and all, that it would just wait for me.
Tony packed up his equipment and hopped on his personal plane. In Afghanistan, he presented his newest technology to Rhodes and the group of military men on a ridge that overlooked a vast expanse of mountains.
Is it better to be feared or respected? And I say, is it too much to ask for both? With that in mind, I humbly present the crown jewel of Stark Industries' Freedom Line.
Tony signaled toward the mountains and a large missile launched into them. The blast from the impact was so powerful that it blew all the men's hats off. Tony's audience praised him, and they headed back to the base. But as they were driving, a huge explosion hit Tony's truck. When Tony woke up, he was in a dark cave with a man who called himself Yinsen. Tony took in his surroundings. Then he looked down. There was a round metal device in the center of his chest, right over his heart. He shot a look at Yinsen.
What is this?
Yinsen explained that Tony had been captured and imprisoned by the terrorist group that had caused the car explosion. The shrapnel had wounded Tony. The metal piece in his chest was an electromagnet keeping him alive. Suddenly, a menacing man named Raza walked into the cave and demanded Tony build him the Jericho missile. But Tony was never one to be bullied.
I refuse.
Raza immediately summoned his gang, who forcefully dragged Tony outside the cave. Raza showed Tony that he already had all the equipment Tony would need to build the missile. He wanted him to start work immediately and promised to free Tony once the weapon was delivered. Tony didn't believe a word Raza said, but he knew he had to build something. Back in the cave, Tony started assembling, welding, and deconstructing the equipment he was provided. He threw a metal piece behind him.
Okay, we don't need this.
Yinsen realized that what Tony was building did not look like a missile. Tony pointed at the work in front of him.
That's because it's a miniaturized arc reactor. I got a big one powering my factory at home.
Yinsen was very interested in the arc reactor. He wanted to know the details, how it worked and what it would generate. Tony enthusiastically explained.
If my math is right, don't know what it is. 3 gigajoules per second.
Yinsen realized that meant the arc reactor could run Tony's heart for 50 lifetimes. Tony shot Yinsen a sideways glance and smiled.
Or something big for 15 minutes.
Tony pulled up a blueprint in the cave. It showed his plan to build a metal suit with the arc reactor in the center of its chest plate.
This is our ticket out of here.
Yinsen believed Tony and decided to help him build the iron suit. For the next few days, Tony and Yinsen worked on the armored suit around the clock. Finally, it was ready to be fitted. Tony stepped into the suit and repeated Yinsen's directions to sneak out of the cave. He had only one shot at getting out.
41 steps straight ahead, and 16 steps, that's from the door, fork right, 33 steps, turn right.
With a few last-minute adjustments, the suit was activated, and Tony escaped from the cave. Raz's henchmen immediately confronted him, but Tony held up his arm, ready to fight.
My turn.
In his new armored suit, Tony took down Raza and his men using fire blasts from his arms. Then he rocketed away from Raza's headquarters. But his suit ran out of power and he crashed in the desert miles away, where a military helicopter eventually found him and picked him up. Tony was welcomed back by Pepper, Obadiah, his supporters, and several news reporters at a press conference. He addressed the group with his usual wit and charm.
I came to realize that I have more to offer this world than just making things that blow up. And that is why, effective immediately, I am shutting down the weapons manufacturer's business.
The crowd went wild. Cameras snapped and reporters yelled out questions. The news of Stark Industries no longer making weapons was a huge deal. Outside the press room, Obadiah confronted Tony. He was concerned about Tony's new decision regarding the business. But Tony stood by it.
We're not doing a good enough job. We can do better. We're going to do something else.
Like what?
I think we should take another look into arc reactor technology.
Tony opened his shirt and showed Obadiah his own arc reactor.
It works.
Tony didn't listen to Obadiah's objections and started working on his new initiative, a bigger and better iron suit that would save lives. For this, he consulted his other assistant, an artificially intelligent computer system named Jarvis.
Jarvis, you up? I'd like to open a new project file.
Till further notice, why don't we just keep everything on my private server? I don't want this winding up in the wrong hands.
Tony worked day and night on his project, spending all his time in the lab with Jarvis. Things got a little tense, and Tony snapped at his computer assistant.
Okay, I'm sorry. Am I in your way?
Pepper grew concerned. She went down to the lab to check on Tony.
I've been buzzing you. Did you hear the intercom?
Tony stopped working, looked up, and reassured Pepper that he was fine. He was just busy building his new suit. Tony's armor quickly progressed. Soon he had a powerful iron suit with an onboard weapons system. It still needed something to make it look sleek and cool. He rubbed his chin and called out to Jarvis.
Tell you what, throw a little hot rod red in there.
Next, Tony concentrated on the jets in his boots and the repulsors in his gauntlets. He wanted his suit to fly.
Activate hand controls.
Tony successfully hovered, but without warning, he was thrown across the room. Test unsuccessful. Nothing could stop Tony. He worked harder than he ever had before, and it paid off. He perfected the repulsors in both his gauntlets and boots. He lifted the suit off the ground.
Yeah, I can fly.
Then he looked over at Jarvis with a grin on his face.
Sometimes you gotta run before you can walk.
The roof of his lab opened, and Tony swiftly took off into the night sky. He maneuvered the suit like a pro. He arrived back at his lab. As he went in for a landing, he called out to Jarvis.
Kill power.
But instead of setting down gracefully, Tony smashed through 3 floors and into his garage, finally crash landing right on top of one of his flashy cars. While Tony continued to improve his suit, he discovered that Obadiah had betrayed their friendship by selling weapons to Tony's enemy, Raza, and bribing Raza's terrorist group to take Tony's life. Tony felt angry and guilty that his weapons were being used to harm others. He flew to the village in his shiny red and gold iron suit, armed and ready to take out the bad guys. When he arrived, he immediately started hitting them with his repulsors, sending the villains crashing into walls. With a final blast from his gauntlets, Iron Man took down the last bad guy and heroically looked up at the villagers.
He's all yours.
Then he headed back home. But Tony didn't know that while he was taking down Ra's henchmen and saving the village, Obadiah had hired his own scientists and was secretly working to create an enormous and powerful iron suit of his own. Obadiah instructed his team.
Set up Sector 16 underneath the Arc Reactor, and I'm going to want this data masked. Recruit our top engineers. I want a prototype right away.
He specifically directed one of the scientists.
William, here is the technology. I've asked you to simply make it smaller.
He wanted to build his own iron suit to get rid of Tony and take over Stark Industries. Since Tony knew Obadiah was up to no good, he sent Pepper to hack into his computer and find out exactly what Obadiah had planned. Tony soon realized he was going to have to fight his mentor and friend. He looked up at Pepper.
I'm going to find my weapons and destroy them.
Pepper shook her head.
Tony, you know that I would help you with anything, but I cannot help you if you're going to start all of this again.
Tony was upset.
There is nothing except this. I just finally know what I have to do. And I know in my heart that it's right.
Decked out in his red and gold armor, Tony took off. Tony lured Obadiah, who was suited up as the Ironmonger, to the top of the Stark Industries building. He wanted to fight him somewhere no innocent civilians would get hurt. As he attacked the Ironmonger with his repulsors, he shouted commands to Jarvis.
Divert power to Chestart.
Obadiah slammed Iron Man to the ground and stood over him.
Nothing's gonna stand in my way. Least of all, you.
Tony once again instructed Jarvis.
Take me to maximum altitude.
The two iron giants threw each other around until finally Pepper overloaded the large reactor in the lab below them, unleashing a massive electrical surge. The Ironmonger fell into the exploding reactor and was destroyed. The next day, at a press conference, both reporters and members of the public had a lot of questions about Stark Industries and the iron suits they saw battling in the night sky. One of the reporters referred to the suit as Iron Man. Tony thought for a moment and turned to his friends.
Iron Man, that's kind of catchy. It's got a nice ring to it. I mean, it's not technically accurate. The suit's a gold titanium alloy.
Then Tony became serious and addressed the press.
Truth is, I am Iron Man.
As the room went wild, Tony Stark grinned. He had learned that it was necessary to protect the public. And as the invincible superhero Iron Man, he would do just that.
There's 40 minutes left of time travel, and I got 15 great songs for you. Next, 1964, here on Time Travel, Martha and the Vandellas. Yes!
In preservation means to me? It means homemade jelly with caps on tight. It means a piece of ancient paper sealed under glass. It means look, but don't touch. When it comes to the great outdoors, there's too much of this preservation, this non-use of wilderness. What we need is more conservation, the wise use of our natural resources. Join in the conservation efforts of the National Rifle Association and your local NRA club. America the Beautiful is too great not to be enjoyed.
Gather round, listen to that bongo sound. Grab the first one in your reach. Now we're gonna shake the beach.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do the clam, grab your barefoot baby by the hand. Turn and tease, hug and squeeze. Dig right in and do the clam. You can't get your heart to spin on the outside looking in. Moon ain't gonna last all night. Well, let's work up an appetite.
Yeah, yeah.
Do the clam, grab your barefoot baby by the hand. Turn and tease, hug and squeeze. Dig right in and do the clam. got that beat.
Everybody's got the beat.
Listen to those happy feet.
Listen to those happy feet.
Ain't you glad that you found out?
Ain't you glad that you found out?
What the clown is all about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do the clam, do the clam. Well, grab your barefoot baby by the hand. Turn and tease, hug and squeeze. Dig right in and do the clam. Dig right in and do the clap.
Once again, Elvis the Pelvis here on Time Travel with Do the Clam. I don't know. Well, I mean, he explained it, but he's doing the clam. I mean, a clam's like just kind of tight and sits in the muck. Doesn't really do much. I never liked clams. They'd always take me out clamming, cohogging. My family, they'd be like, bring Chris with you, because he doesn't like clams. So anything I got, you know, went into another family member's pail at the end of the day. They'd be like shucking the clams and stepping on them and eating all these cohogs and little necks. And I'd be like, bleh, gross. Just give me a clam cake. Like, it's almost like a donut. That was pretty good. Anyway, Elvis was doing the clam. Before that, Girls on the Beach, Beach Boys. Beach Boys are always on the beach. They never really wanted far from the beach. You used to be like, where are the boys? Oh, they're down the beach. Hence, the Beach Boys singing about girls on the beach. I mean, everybody liked the Beach Boys, and I enjoyed the Beach Boys, but come on, guys. I mean, there's other things happening other than at the beach, right? Couldn't you go down to, like, the Fisherman's Wharf and have some clam cakes? Go hang out with the guy from The Temptations, cheer him up so he doesn't kill himself on New Year's Eve? The guy we were talking about, Roger Pensnabean, the Pirates of Pensnabean. I feel bad for the guy. I shouldn't be making fun of him. It's horrible of me. Horrible, horrible of me to think of that. I can't explain why I did that. Here's The Who. How do you like that one? How do you like that transition? Nice. From 1964, it's The Who, Can't Explain. Hey, why is Pete in a dress? Can't explain. Why is Pete into young boys? Can't explain. Why is Roger got his chest hair out. Can't explain. Why did John Entwistle die at 50? Well, he did a lot of heroin. Why is Keith Moon gone? Can't explain. Well, he jumped into an empty pool and broke all of his front teeth. Can't explain. But from the more innocent times of 1964, maximum R&B of The Who with Can't Explain from the meaty, beady, big and bouncy album, or as they called it internally, the Who's Left album. Time Travel's here with you till 7. This one's dedicated to Roger Pezdabean. It's Manfred Mann with Doo Wah Diddy, which in Chinese means hope you don't kill yourself on New Year's Eve.
There she was, just walking down the street singing
Doo Wah Diddy Diddy Dum Diddy Doo,
tapping her fingers and shuffling her feet singing
Doo Wah Diddy Diddy Dum Diddy Doo.
She looked good,
looked good.
She looked fine,
looked fine.
She looked good, she looked fine. And I nearly lost my mind. Before I knew it, she was walking next to me singing
Doo Wah Diddy Diddy Dum Diddy Doo,
holding my hand just as natural as can be singing
Doo Wah Diddy Diddy Dum Diddy Doo.
We walked on,
walk on
to my door,
my door.
We walked on to my door, then we kissed a little more. Together nearly every single day singing
Doo Wah Diddy Diddy Dum Diddy Doo.
Oh, we're so happy and that's how we're gonna stay singing
Doo Wah Diddy Diddy Dum Diddy Doo.
Well, I'm hers,
I'm hers,
she's mine,
she's mine,
I'm hers,
she's mine.
Wedding bells are gonna chime.
Yes, I can. Suddenly, yes, I can. Gee, I'm afraid to go on has turned into yes, I can. Take a look, what do you see? 133 pounds of confidence, me. Got the feeling I can do anything. Yes, I can. Something that sings in my blood is telling me yes, I can. I was just born today, I can go all the way, yes, I can. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Yeah, yes, I can. Yes, I can. Wind me up, then watch me fly. A regular sort of sunburned Superman. Are you ready? I can climb Everest. Yes, I can. I can fight here all night and never rest. Yes, I can. I have just found the key. Hey, doors swing wide for me. I was just born today. I can go all the way, yes. I can.
The Candyman here on Time Travel. Time Travel. Here on Time Travel, the Candyman. It's the Candyman here on Time Travel. Mr. Bojangles himself here on Time Travel. Yes, it's Sammy Davis Jr. Not Sammy Davis. It was a junior. It was a junior, like Junior Mintz, but it's Sammy Davis Jr. He used to play in Las Vegas with Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra and Peter Crawford and the Rat Pack, but now he's gone. He's gone, just like Frank, whatever his name was, from the Temptations. He's gone. Anyway, one last one from 1964, and then I'll leave you in 2004. Time Travel's here with you till 7.
In the daytime, girl, I want to be with you all of the time. The only time I feel alright is by your side. Girl, I want to be with you all of the time, all day and all of the night. All day and all of the night. All day and all of the night. I believe that you and me last forever. Oh yeah, all day and night I'm yours, leave me never.
One of y'all. game masking, bringing the beat back and keeping it lasting, keeping it top notch, beyond passing, simmering the pan, cause I ain't a flashing, I'm party crashing, so you better bat in, down those hatches, stop procrastinating.
Well, I'm Mike D with a story to tell, and when I rock the crowd, oh yeah, and when I get the feeling, I feel the feels well.
Costume. What's wrong with that? Now I was a Catwoman.
She arrived on a 747. About 22:11, she comes to see him, him asking me. She comes to see, and it's never complicated. Other women cannot fade it. Whenever I call, gets dressed up and all super cute.
Maybe it's cause she come from East LA, but every time I see her body on display, I gotta call her name from the DJ booth. Strobe light flash and you know the truth. The baby got game, she'll take your loot. Keys to the crib with no dispute. You see her dancing in her birthday, super cute.
Together we wonder how we got enslaved and why. Jericho falls when we all discern the light.
Hey, yo, white man wanna lie.
I look at her eyes go wild.
Yeah.
She smiles super cute.
Maybe so she come from East LA. Every time I see her body on display, gotta call her name from the DJ booth. Strobe light flash and you know the truth.
On a dare, I wanna see if she'll share the kind of toys she uses when I'm not there. None at all,
none at all.
She swears,
she swears.
I don't care,
I don't care.
I make her buy another one.
Yeah,
another one. And a new dress to wear. Goes the toy against her curly hair. Now she must confess how she really like to play.
How you play?
Or if she don't, I lower the speed and bad words she'll say.
Tell me how you play, how you play, how you play.
Even in her anger, she's still super cute.
Maybe it's cause she come from East LA, but every time I see her body on display, from the DJ booth. Strobe light flash and you know the truth. Your baby got game, she'll take your loot. Keys to the crib with no dispute. You see her dancing on birthdays. You see her dancing in her birthday.
Super cute. Shake around.
When you see her dancing in her birthday. Super cute.
in 2004 here on Time Travel. That was Prince with the unreleased Super Cute. You could find that on the Slaughterhouse Volume 2 of NPG Music from 2004. We start off 2004 with the Beastie Boys. Here is Cake.
In the brown shag carpet of a cheap motel, in the dark and dusty corner by the TV shelf, is a small reminder of a simpler time, when a crumpled up pair of trousers lost a brand new dime. Will you ask me how I made it through, and how my mint condition could belong to you?
Unbelievable, 'cause I could not have it better. But I just can't get no play from the girls all around as they search the night for someone to hold on to. I just passed through.
Just and bring back
Springsteen, Madonna. Way before Nirvana, there was U2 and Blondie, and music still on MTV. Her two kids in high school, they tell her that she's uncool, cause she's still preoccupied. 1985, Springsteen, Madonna. Way before Nirvana, there was U2 and Blondie, and music still on MTV. Her two kids in high school, they tell her that she's uncool, cause she's still preoccupied with 1985.
Roger Pesnabine with 1985. Actually, it was Bowling for Soup with 1985. Before that, Weezer, Perfect Situation. Cake with Dime, Prince with Super Cute. Starting us off in 2004, the Beastie Boys with Rhyme. The Rhyme. Well, we are out of time, time travelers. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening once again to your Freeform station. This has been previously recorded, but I will continue to make these for you as long as you continue listening to them. Thanks to everybody who called in and made requests. I will be back next week, everybody, and it is June next week. June 3rd, I will be back from 5 to 7 p.m. And I'd also like to note right here, in all seriousness, my best friend passed away 1 year ago on May 27th. I miss him dearly. Be sure to check in with your friends and family during this odd time. I joke around a lot, but I am a very serious and sensitive man. I miss him every single day. I loved him very much, and I dedicate today's show to him. So to my friend Matthew Small, I miss you, buddy. It has been a year, and it has gone by so fast, but it feels like forever. I think about you every single day, and you are my best friend, and I miss you dearly. So I hope you are looking down on us and smiling. Good night, time travel.